cities and towns. Amen. Did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Yeah, I tell you what, I'm sensing a rowdy group here today. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to call this message today, Mercy Under Trial. Mercy Under Trial. And what I mean by that, you know, we know that there's things that people have fallen into and mistakes that people have made. And we know that, you know, maybe you've been in those situations. You know, none of us are perfect. But we know that it can be a trial, you know, for us when we make a mistake like that, or maybe we fall into something that we shouldn't. But how about the trial on the other side of how we react to people who have missed it? Oh, yeah. You know, the trial, sometimes we don't understand that it tries us when someone around us, maybe a colleague, maybe a family member, God forbid a spouse or something like that, but you can be in a situation where someone close to you can fall into a mistake or fall into wrong living or something, and your reaction, how you react, come on now. And that's why I say it's a trial of the mercy of God in your life. And I want to ask you a question. How merciful are you? How merciful are you? Oh, and we are going to dissect your spirituality. And we'll find out just how spiritual we are or just how spiritual we ain't.
Yeah.
Right? A little improper grammar there on purpose. See, I'm a former school teacher, and, you know, I wouldn't be able to get away with that in my classroom, but here, it almost is funny.
Yes.
Glory to God. So we're gonna get in there, and we're going to define what true spirituality is and how you react and what it does to put you under trial when somebody else misses it. Oh, praise the Lord. And what we're going to be really getting at the heart of here is the love of God in your life, walking in love. See, we are creation. We were created by mercy. We were born out of an act of ultimate mercy that God did. So therefore, we're created for the purpose of mercy. We're created for the purpose of mercy. And we're going to see that these very day and times that we live in are going to unfortunately be characterized by a lack of mercy. A lack of mercy. We are living in the time when, I mean, especially in this 24-hour news cycle and all these political games, everything's a gotcha moment. Everything's about a gotcha moment. You know, who can expose you for doing what and what'd you do wrong and plaster it all over social media and Facebook and Twitter and put it online and all this stuff. I'll tell you what, there is a very high lack of mercy in the world, and that spirit is trying to get into the church. But I tell you what, we are the children of mercy. We were born again by the most merciful God who did the most merciful thing. Therefore, we are called to mercy, and everything that we will do, everything that we will receive from God is going to be dependent upon our mercy.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, your tithing ain't going to work if you're not a merciful person.
Right. Good answer.
You know, you can be a big giver, but your giving isn't going to do anything for you if you're not first merciful.
Right.
Oh, come on now. There's a lot of marriages today that are needing mercy.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we just excuse, you know, or allow someone to abuse us with their actions. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it's not a person's actions that determine how spiritual they are. It's their reactions to somebody else who missed it.
Very good.
Your reactions. Oh, come on. Go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read an interesting verse that Jesus said here in verse 12. Go on over there. Jesus is talking about in this chapter, he's talking about the end days. He's talking about the last times. He's talking about the days that will lead up to the rapture and also the days after the rapture. And he says something here about the environment that you and I live in right now today. Jesus is talking about the times that we are alive in right here, the days immediately preceding his imminent return. And in verse 12, Jesus says this, and this scripture just came up in my spirit and started playing. And I'll be honest with you, when I started hearing it in my on the inside, I didn't even know the chapter and verse. I just didn't recall the chapter and verse. I knew it was either Matthew 24, Luke 21 in this discourse about the end days. And so, of course, I studied it out and just sat on this verse and just meditated on it. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get something out of it today. He says in verse 12, Jesus says, and because, now again, remember, in context, he's talking about the end times. And if you start all the way back there at verse 3, and it talks about the earthquake and the pestilences and, you know, the time of his coming and all of this stuff. And then Jesus says this in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And because iniquity, the word iniquity is just another word for sin. And because sin shall abound or grow, the love of many shall wax cold. Yeah, this is the kind of environment that will exist in the attitudes and the days and the times before Jesus' return. Now, if you look at the Amplified, can we bring up the Amplified version of this scripture? I think it says something very interesting. It says, and the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Wow. That's literally what the original Greek says. That the great body of people, the love of the great body of people will wax cold. Well, whenever I see that term, the great body of people, what is the greatest body of people that exists in the eyes of God on the earth today? The church, the body of Christ. Yeah. And notice it says the love of the great body. The love, you could say it this way, the love of the body of Christ is going to grow cold. Wow. And notice it says, because sin will be multiplied, lawlessness and iniquity will be multiplied, or the King James says that the love of many will wax cold. Wow. Well, when I was meditating on this verse, it just came up to me and made me realize, is sin anything new? No. Have men been sinning since the Garden of Eden? Yeah. Sin is not anything new, okay? But notice it in this verse is talking about love will wax cold because of others' sins. Because sin will grow in the world, now the church will have the wrong reaction. It's not just what the sinners are doing. It's not just the mistakes that the world is making that is driving us to this point. But it is the lack of mercy, the lack of love, and the lack of proper reaction to the world's sins. Yes. Think about this. Yes. Notice the great body of people, the body of Christ, is not responding correctly.
Right.
Yeah, to all of the world's increased lawlessness and iniquity. Sin is nothing new.
Right.
Men have been sinning, okay, for generations. The same sins that exist now are the same sins that have always existed. However, the church is not reacting correctly. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that when somebody else fails, it's not just a test on them. It's a test on us. Oh, it's a test on the church to see others fail. Oh, how do you react when others fail? How do you react when other people fail you? Because are people going to fail you? They sure are. Oh, but see, that's why the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
See, there's a reason why God gave you his love.
Yes.
One, because he loves you. But two, he knows that while you're alive on this rock, you're going to meet and know lots of people that have flesh.
Yeah.
That are going to do things and say things that are going to be an attempt to discourage you.
Right.
To get you down, and your reaction is your spirituality.
Oh,
come on now. Praise the Lord. It says, because iniquities will abound, love will wax cold. So it's not just the sin that's being committed, it's the response to sin that is at the root of the problem as well.
Right.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Right.
What happened to all my shouters? What happened to my rowdy group out here? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Now go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Now again, like I said, the church was born out of mercy. Our existence and everything we believe in was founded upon God's mercy. Thank you for that one amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, are you a child of mercy here today? I mean, see, the whole purpose, when God gave his son, the gift was supposed to be so huge, so unimaginable, that it would soften man's heart. Yeah, that we would realize and understand that we have received the ultimate mercy. Therefore, we are children of mercy. Therefore, we react in mercy. We act in mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, see, we're talking about mercy under trial. What is the mercy of God in your life doing when someone else misses it? Oh, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to get over there to verse 8. 1 Peter used to be in my Bible. I believe it still is there. We're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is a scripture I just was meditating on as well. And verse 8 says this: "And above all things, have fervent charity," the King James says. How many of you know that that word charity is the word for love? If you have a more modern translation, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins." And for so long, God's people have been interpreting this scripture incorrectly. Okay, now let me explain what I mean by that. They'll say, "For love shall cover the multitude of sins." And we hear that and we think automatically that it's talking about God's love and what he did for us through Jesus that covered our multitude of sins. Well, there's just one problem with that. How many of you know that what Jesus did at the cross did not cover our sins? What did it do? It washed our sins. It's not talking about what God did for you. It's not talking about God's reaction to us. Though we definitely received his reaction of mercy. Aren't you glad? It's talking about our reaction to others.
That's good.
Glory to God. Why? Because look at the first half of the verse. It says, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves."
That's right.
It's not talking about what God did for us. It's talking about what you do for others.
That's right.
Amen. He says, "And have fervent love among yourselves." Notice this was written to Christians.
Yes.
Here we are being reminded to have fervent love among ourselves. Because if we were automatically just so loving to each other, then the scripture would never have to say that. Have fervent love. That means passionate love. Have a fevered, you know, a desire to, you know what I'm saying? Have a desire to always be merciful to the people of God. Glory to God. He says, "Above everything, have fervent love among yourselves." He says, now it goes on to tell us what this kind of love does. "For love shall cover the multitude of sins." If you think you came to the church to find people that always act right and treat you right, I tell you what, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because even in the church world, there's still a multitude of sins or offenses against you. Oh, come on now. A multitude of sins. Man, this doesn't seem very encouraging. You would think that among the people that have received the highest act of mercy, that there would be the greatest display of mercy among those people. But Peter is telling us and correcting us, hey, just remember what the love of God does in your life. It covers the multitude of sins. Notice that love covers the multitude of sins. It doesn't expose.
Oh, that's huge.
Here is what will be lacking in these last days. Remember, Jesus said that love will wax cold. That among the great body of people, the body of Christ, there will not be this kind of reaction to cover their sins. Listen, you can't wash anybody from their sin. Jesus does that. But I tell you what, you do not have a ministry of skepticism and suspicion. Do you understand that? You don't. We have the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of skepticism and suspicion. Everybody is trying to tell me what other people are doing wrong. Listen, As soon as you dwell on somebody else's failure, you're a greater failure than they ever were. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The mistakes of others will reveal more about your character than your own mistakes. Let me say that again. The mistakes of others will reveal more about your character than your own mistakes. Yeah. People fail more in their reactions than they do in their actions. Oh, did you get that? People fail more in their reactions than they do in their actions. Listen, you can be a very moral person. You can be a faithful tither, faithful church attender. You may serve in a department in the local church and all these things. But if your reactions are not correct towards those that miss it, it's all going to be for nothing. Didn't Paul over there say in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, "For if I give all my goods to the poor and that my body should be burned, but if I have not love, it's worth nothing. Profits me nothing." Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, the reaction that we're supposed to have is not to expose people in their faults. But come on now. We're not to drag out their dirty laundry list. You know, get on the phone, tell everybody about it, post it and retaliate on Facebook, send out a tweet. Listen, that's what the world is doing. And now that failure, if you don't react properly, someone else's failure can be a worse failure for you. Because there's no greater failure than to fail to be merciful. That's right. If you fail to be merciful, praise the Lord, the love that covers a multitude of sins. You know, one time I went into, well, I guess I don't want to talk about specifically, I don't want to mention names, but I went into, I was in a local business, and I was talking to an individual, and, you know, throughout the conversation, he realized that I was a pastor. You know, he asked me what I did, and I told him, and, you know, and that's always fun. You know, the conversation always just changes a little bit. But then he told me, I'm a believer, and, you know, I go to such and such church, and, wonderful, well, praise the Lord, brother, all this stuff, you know, it was really good. And then all of a sudden he said, you know what, God has given me a ministry to expose the sins of the church. I said, well, you must be extremely busy. He says, what the Lord leads me to do is to go around from church to church, from Bible study to Bible study or small groups or whatever. He said, and I am there to expose what they're doing wrong. Oh, boy. As soon as you hear that, you know the love of God is not in somebody. Because love covers a multitude of sins. It's not out there exposing everyone's faults. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, there's going to be people in your life. There's going to be people you are related to, people you work with, people you go to church with that are going to miss it. They're going to make mistakes. They could offend you. They could insult you. Listen, as long as there's a devil and flesh on this earth to be tempted, there's people going to do people stuff. And don't think it's so strange when people do people things. Hallelujah, glory to God. See, in the end times, this is what's going to be the environment. It's not going to be an environment of mercy anymore. It's going to be an environment of exposing. You know, if you've ever seen, if you've ever been on, you know, ABC News and all these news organizations that do these exposés on Christian ministers and things like that, you know, how they're trying to expose Christianity. Well, why don't they expose Islam?
Yeah. There you go.
We're not the ones cutting people's heads off.
Right?
We're not the one maiming and torturing women and children. You know? But yet, they would rather broadcast what minister drives what car, because that's the spirit that is in the world. Trying to expose, trying to drag out, trying to talk to somebody, you know, always catch somebody in that gotcha moment. Listen, I'll tell you what, if you are not careful, you will be inviting a greater trial upon yourself than even what that person is going through.
Right.
We have to know and understand that. The love of God is there to cover a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Oh, as soon as you get on the phone and you start voicing your hurt, once you get on the phone and start voicing your offense, this is what they did, this is what they said, you have now opened the door to a greater failure in your life. Let me show you this. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, there's a couple scriptures I want to take you to. Go hold your spot there. We may come back. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. The moment you start speaking about what someone else did to you or what they said about you, you are violating the very principle on which God has established your whole life. And that is the principle of relationships. Oh, come on now. God is a relational God. Everything that matters most to Him is how you respond in your relationships. How you respond in your relationships with fellow believers at church. How you respond to your relationship with your employer or with your spouse. Yeah, with your family, with your friends. Everything is based on whether or not relationships are the most valuable thing to you. Oh, come on. Because relationships is what matters most to God.
Yes.
I'm not talking about cheap, fickle relationships that the world promotes. I'm not talking about, you know, some boyfriend and girlfriend and, you know, I'm not talking about cheap relationships. Though I'm not trying to, insult somebody that's dating somebody. You understand? I'm not talking about these worldly things. I'm not talking about how many Facebook friends you have. I'm talking about relationships in your life where you actually deal with people face to face. You know them, you live among them, and deal with them on a daily basis. All right? How you react and how you respond and how you live in those relationships means so much to God. So much to Him. And as soon as you start to repeat a matter, you are destroying a relationship. I'll tell you cannot have God's highest and best until people mean more to you than money. Until people mean more to you than money. People are more valuable to you than the money you earn. Come on now. We're just having a little heart surgery here today. Is that all right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 17 in verse 9. It says this, he that covereth a transgression seeks love. Yeah. But he that repeats a matter separates very friends, or literally you could say it this way, divides best friends. Wow. He that repeats a matter divides relationships. Oh. He that is, you know, talking and rehearsing the hurt of what someone said, what someone did. You're destroying a relationship somewhere, and God will not let that be all right. Oh, come on now. He that covers a transgression. Listen, I dare you, next time someone says something hurtful to you, I dare you to cover it. How do you cover it? You don't repeat it.
Yeah, right. Amen.
You don't repeat it. Listen, you can't live by what people are thinking about you. You can't live a godly life. You can't fulfill the plan of God in your life if you're so consumed about what people are thinking and saying about you. Listen, there's somebody out there today, right now, I tell you, that don't like you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wake you up to the reality that you are not loved by everybody. You're not as popular and likable as you think you are. There is somebody right now having a bad thought about you, and they might be right over here.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Because don't let their failure multiply in your life. Because as soon as you take the offense and as soon as you repeat it, your failure is greater than theirs. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I have this verse here, Proverbs 17:9. I have it in my little, I have about 100 verses that I just go through on my index cards. And this is one of them. You know, it's just one of my favorite verses. He that covers a transgression seeks love. But he that repeats things, he that got to talk about it, he that has to voice their hurts and their offenses. Listen, offenses are going to come. They don't make you unique. Someone's going to do something bad to you probably before you go to sleep tonight. You know what I mean by that? Talk something about you, negative. Not be as nice or kind as you thought they should be. Listen, the reason why you're disappointed in life all the time is that you have too many expectations on people. If you have expectations on people, they're going to fail them.
Good word, Pastor.
Pastor Michael used to say to me, he said, you could walk in tomorrow, call me the Antichrist. I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
And I used to just think about that. He's like, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. He's like, you know, I love you. I care about you. You know, I trust you, everything else. But, you know, there's so many people that are, you know, as long as there's a devil on this earth, you know, devil on this earth and flesh here to be tempted. People can do people stuff.
That's right.
Don't be so surprised. But if you have expectations on them, if you set them up, they're going to fail you.
Sure they will. Yeah.
Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. He that covers a transgression, he that stops it right there. See, I'm trying to prevent danger in your life.
Amen.
See, because there's too many people out there rehearsing and talking and repeating what so-and-so said and what so-and-so did. Listen, you're going to see good people make mistakes. You're going to see people that even God has chosen. You're going to see people make errors, you know. It just happens. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Pastor Tim, are you trying to tell us something? Have you made a mistake? No, I'm not saying that at all. You know, but what are you going to do when, you know, a brother or sister in the Lord fails you?
Sure.
What are you going to do when your spouse doesn't have the best day of their life? What are you going to do? How are you going to react?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 6. You don't want to be a violator of relationships.
No, right.
You don't want to be out separating friends. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something here. I'm going to say something and give you a look in behind the scenes of ministry, and I'm just going to be transparent and just tell you how it is. You know that all the time I have people coming up to me telling me something bad about you? I mean, there is every week somebody comes to me from outside the church or an outside situation, God forbid, once in a while maybe even inside the church. People will come up to me, they're telling me all the time about the failures of people in our church and mentioning you specifically by name. That happens all the time.
Sure.
And let me tell you something. When they do, when they say it, even if I think they might be telling me something that's true, I still defend you.
Right. Amen.
I still defend you. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
When someone comes against a brother or sister of mine, even if what they're telling me is true, I'm still going to look for a way to defend them.
Right.
I'm going to defend you.
Yes.
You're going to be safe with me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I believe that there's a connection within loyalty.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That when you are brothers and sisters,
yes,
in a church family, or maybe just brothers and sisters in the body of Christ at large,
right,
you know, loyalty defends. Listen, I don't just let somebody fill my ear full of trash about you.
Right.
I don't. I defend you.
Yes.
Even when those things have turned out to be true and maybe there is somebody in the church that is failing or has fallen into something that is wrong, I still don't let that somebody sit there and fill my head full of garbage about them.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend them. I'm going to say, well, you don't know what they've been through.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're facing. You don't know the circumstances behind their weakness.
Right.
You don't know what they were facing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I'll tell you what, when your sins get to me, it stops here.
Yeah. Yeah.
When someone else's sins get to you, it should stop right there with you.
Good. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
The church does not need people spreading rumors and gossip like manure on a farm field. You know what I mean? You know why? It stinks. It fills the air. I don't know if you live around any farm fields. I do. And right now they're spreading the manure on everything. You cannot go outside. You know? I mean, my goodness, you step out there, it just fills the air. Why? Because they've been spreading something.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens when you start spreading the rumors, spreading the lies. You're putting a stench over God's house. Oh, praise the Lord. Galatians 6:1. Listen, you are a child of mercy. Why don't you show it to somebody?
Absolutely. Good.
Be merciful.
Amen.
Why? Because the time is coming when you yourself will need it.
Sure.
Listen, do you understand mercy is like a reserve tank? You can only make withdrawals on what you've deposited. But if you've never deposited any mercy, when it comes time for you needing some, there's not going to be any there. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, this isn't very spectacular today, meaning, you know, it's not some clever message. I'm not trying to be clever. You know, how you react, Galatians 6:1. Now we're going to find out how spiritual you are. We're going to just see what you like to do when someone else misses it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, brethren, talking to Christians here. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, talk about it, pass it around, criticize him. Oh, wait. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There are two spiritualities on trial when someone misses it around you, theirs and yours. Oh, if you like to pile on somebody and criticize them when they miss it, it's because you yourself are guilty. Sinners love to remind others of their sins. Oh, come on now. Oh, praise God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, notice among brethren, there's faults among brethren. Notice Peter said, love covers a multitude of sins among brethren. Paul now is talking to the Galatian churches, and he says this, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Notice as soon as you criticize someone that missed it, you have invited the same temptation upon you. I have seen people react to someone else's mistake. They get critical. How can they do that? How could they ever have done that? I can't believe they did that and did such and such. And can you believe it? And, you know, they post it. And I've seen stuff written on Facebook. Listen, do yourself a favor. Stop posting your grievances on Facebook. Stop posting your grievances with people on social media. Because I'll tell you, it's one thing to say something, but when you write it down, you can't take it back.
Yeah.
That's right. Come on now. No, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, yeah, you'll see Christians make mistakes. You're going to see people. You're going to see even leadership. You could see people that you just held in high esteem. They could miss it or whatever. Praise the Lord. I don't know why this message was on my heart. This is not what I wanted to preach at all. But this is where the meditation was. That's where the leading was. Because we're living in a day and a time when this kind of mercy is running cold in the church. Oh, praise the Lord. There is a trial. There's two trials here. When somebody else misses it, it's their trial and it becomes yours. Say, well, Pastor, I didn't ask for this trial. I know, I didn't either. But you can't prevent it from happening. Listen, you are tried and tested every day by the actions of others, and it is your reactions that are going to make or break you. You which are spiritual, restore. Not tear down, not criticize. You know, what does it say over there? Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, he said, do not condemn. Do not judge for I'm butchering the verse now, of course. Judge not that you be not judged. That's what I'm trying to say. Literally, the Amplified says, do not condemn, criticize, or, do not condemn or criticize, or literally to pass sentence. See, the same sentence that you pass on others is going to come back to you. I have seen people that have criticized those that have fallen, and within less than a year, they have done something worse themselves. Because they fell into temptation because they did not consider themselves. Listen, think of the worst thing that anybody has ever done to you. Think about that. Now, I'm not trying to get you to relive your past or to get into fear or anything like that. But then ask yourself, am I capable of making that same mistake? And if your reaction is, no, I could never do that, you're wrong. The Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Yeah, the moment you start saying, that could never be me, I would never do that, I could never do that, I'm not even capable of such an action, as soon as you say that, as soon as you believe it, you are inviting a worse temptation upon yourself. The Bible says that him who thinks he stands, take heed. You have to take warning. Every horrific thing that anyone has ever done could be you if you're not careful.
Right.
I am not beyond a fall. Any man of God or woman of God that says they're beyond a fall, they're heading straight for one. Come on now. You which are spiritual, restore. Restore. Restore them. What does restore mean? Get them back to their original estate. Help get them back to where they were. The book of Proverbs says that a good man falls seven times but gets up again.
Yeah.
A good man falls seven times.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's right.
What are you? Are you one of these people that just stand back and pass sentence and criticize from a distance? If you are, you're headed straight for failure. Or are you truly spiritual and you want to see them back? You want to see them restored? I get a sense that I'm preaching this not because of what someone has done or what has happened. I get a sense that as I'm up here preaching, that this is a forewarning. I'm getting this sense that as I minister, the Spirit of God is saying, this is a forewarning, because there's probably several of you that are here today that are going to come across this exact instance, and you're going to come across it soon. Maybe you might even discover something about somebody. You might discover somebody that you're related to, you know, something might just come up totally unexpected about what somebody's been doing or what they've been up to.
Sure.
And at that moment, you're going to go under trial. And your mercy's going to go under trial.
Sure.
Amen. And you're going to find out how spiritual you really are. Whether you are going to seek to restore, or are you going to pass judgment and seek for them to be condemned or criticized. Here you go. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Oh, considering yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
When you see someone else fall into a fault, consider yourself. That's exactly why people fall. They see someone else fall, and they only consider that person's actions. They never consider that it could have just as easily been them. Oh, I'm telling you, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not praying, guess what? You can fall. If you're not having fellowship with God, if you're not spending time with Him and being in His presence, you can fall.
Sure.
Come on now. You getting something out of this here today?
Amen.
Someone's going to do something in your life. And you say, well, no one's ever done anything to me. No one's ever hurt me. You know, no one's ever said anything malicious against me. Well, then quit. Come up here and lay hands on me or something. Tell me, you know, you need to write a book and explain to us, how is it that you've lived on this planet without somebody doing something to you to criticize you or, you know, to hurt you or whatever. Come on now. Oh, see, you cannot love somebody you're willing to expose. You can't love them. You can't be walking in the love of God if you're someone that has to expose them. Oh, it's not spiritual to expose their faults. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yep. Go with me to 1 John, and we'll get ready to close up here. This is another verse that was just in my heart. Go to 1 John 2:10. See, this is what's at stake. This is what love, this is what mercy does. 1 John 2:10. Mercy, mercy. Gotta have mercy. You better consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Don't you think that you're beyond a fall? Don't you think that you would never do what they did? Yes, you would. Maybe if you went through the same temptation, how would you handle their temptation? See, you have to put yourself in somebody's shoes, and you have to understand sometimes when people fall, you need to ask yourself, well, what was their marriage situation like? What was their job situation like? What was the financial pressure that was on them? Until you've carried the same load on your back, don't think that you couldn't fall.
Right.
You have to know and understand this.
Yes.
Say, well, I'm a person of faith. Well, good. Be a person of faith. You know, we teach that. We preach that around here. But listen, at the end of the day, or maybe we say at the beginning of the day, you're going to have to be merciful.
Yes.
Paul said, so if I have faith that I can move mountains, but if I have not mercy, it does me no good.
Right.
You might have mountain-moving faith, but you have no mercy.
Right.
It does you no good. You might be the biggest giver in this place, but you have no compassion. It does you no good.
Right.
What is your reaction when somebody misses it? Listen, your reactions show more about your spirituality than their actions showed about theirs.
Right. That's you.
Say, but Pastor, how can someone else's actions put me in that place? Listen, I know you didn't ask for it, but it does.
Sure.
It happens all the time. You ever been there with a boss? You ever had your employer or your boss or something just do something that you just can't understand? Oh, don't amen too loud. Maybe your boss is here. I don't know. You just don't understand. You don't get why they did what they did. Listen, remember this, that your heart will always be tested by the weakness of those over you. You will always be tested by the weaknesses of others. You're surrounded in a world that is filled with people's weaknesses and their mistakes. Oh, my goodness. I just don't know if I'm getting the message across. I just don't know as if I am. Well, 1 John 2:10 will help us. It says this, he that loveth his brother abides in the light. Notice you can abide in the light.
Yeah, amen.
That means to dwell in, to live there, to make your permanent home.
Yes,
in the light.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it tells us how to do that, right? He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. There is no occasion of stumbling to those that walk in love towards their brother and sister.
That's right.
Love what? Covers a multitude of sins. He that covers a transgression seeketh love.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
He that is spiritual restores such a one.
That's right.
Listen, I'll tell you what. You might know somebody who is down low. You need to go take them, help them, restore them. Listen, the first words out of your mouth should be, you can get back.
Yeah.
You can get right back. I have learned that from my pastor. I mean, when I have dealt with so many people that have come to meet with me and met me in my office, and they have fallen into something in their life, the first words out of my mouth is, you can get right back.
That's right.
This isn't over for you.
That's right.
A better day can be had.
Right.
You're not at the end of this.
Amen.
You're not helpless. You're not hopeless.
Amen.
You're not at the end of your rope.
Amen.
Listen, they don't need you piling on them. Can't believe you did that. Well, they have a flesh and bone just like you. That's why they did that. Because they got tempted. They fell. Listen, the first words out of your mouth is restorative words. You can get back.
Yes.
You can be restored. You can have your marriage restored. You can have your job restored. God can bring these things back to you.
Yes.
Come on now. You know Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son.
Yes.
He did not deserve the ring, he did not deserve the robe, and he did not deserve the fatted calf.
Right.
Remember?
That's right.
You remember Luke chapter 15?
Yeah, that's good.
The prodigal son who went and wasted his money on riotous living,
yep,
came back. He had gotten so low in life that he was eating the food that were the slop that was given to the hogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that?
That's right.
And he finally just said, you know what, I have to go back to my father's house. Listen, I tell you, when someone's willing to come back, they better find somebody looking for them. They better find somebody looking for them. And it says, when the father saw him from a great distance off, he ran towards him. He said, go and prepare the fatted calf. Get out the ring. Get out the robe. Listen, don't you get upset when you see someone that missed it a short time ago start coming into blessing. That is God loving them back into the fold. You better rejoice. Don't you be that critical older brother.
No. Good. Come on.
Remember the critical older brother who said, well, I've done everything right. I stayed put. I didn't go. And I never had the fatted calf, you know, the party thrown for me. Remember him? Don't you be that critical brother. Saying, well, man, I've done everything right, and yet they're getting the blessing, and they missed it. Listen, of course God doesn't reward bad behavior, but when somebody wants to come back,
yes,
he is there looking for them.
Yes.
His mercy said, give him the robe.
That's right.
Give him the ring. Yes. Remember that?
Yes. That's good.
Don't you dare get upset when you see someone that maybe didn't live up to your expectations of what holiness and righteousness would be, and you start seeing them get blessed. Listen, you need to rejoice when a brother gets blessed. You need to rejoice when a brother or sister gets restored. You need to be blessed and rejoice for them when they get back. You know, so many times in these meetings, people tell me, they bring stuff to me, you know, and I know there's this running joke. When people come to meet with me, I mean, I would dare say 80% of anyone that has ever come to meet with me in the office, you know, and sit down for something, you know, they say, oh, here I am in the principal's office. You know, folks, I'm not here to yell at anybody.
Yeah, right.
Listen, I mean, I say this because this is my heart. I'm your best friend. Trust me.
Yeah.
I am not going to be the one that's going to pile on you. I'm not going to be the one to shove you down and to step on your head. The first words out of my mouth is you can have it back.
Yes.
You can get your marriage restored. You can get back to that place. God loves you. He'll forgive you if you're sincere. I'm not going to be the one that's going to tread on you and you know, sharpen my knife and slice and dice you apart. I'm not that way. Because the love of God is not that way.
That's right. Amen.
The mercy of God always says, how can I restore you?
Yes. Good, Pastor. Good.
See, condemnation and shame and guilt is going to try to convince you that your brothers and sisters are mad at you. Try to convince you that your pastor is upset with you because you missed it. No, what hurts your pastor the most is when you disappear and you let shame drive you to the shadows. Listen, you need to understand that you're in a merciful place here and that the leadership of this church is not going to condemn you. Yeah, amen. But we want to restore you. Glory to God. Why? Because look at the blessing of it in verse 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light.
Yeah.
The light of God's love, the light of God's strength, the light of God's health,
sure,
the light of his provision, the light of his joy, the light of his peace, the light of everything.
Amen.
Why? Because you were merciful.
That's it. Good.
Because you were merciful.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Peace is sown in them that sow peace.
Yeah.
Because you saw somebody at a low point, you saw them miss it. And you told them, hey, you can get right back. You can get right back. Amen. I'm not gonna pass sentence on you. I'm not gonna, you know, desire that, you know, your face be down in the mud. No. We want them to come back. We want them to be restored. We want them to get back in that estate that they had with God. We want them to get right back to the place of blessing. Listen, there's a lot of people that don't understand this. Listen, you have to understand when someone fails around you and maybe they violated your trust, there is a difference between forgiveness and trust. Every action is forgivable. Listen, mercy desires someone to be restored, but trust takes time to build. Listen, you can forgive somebody by faith, but you'd be a fool to trust them right away. We have to remember that there are thorns, there are circumstances associated to falling, okay? But we should never reserve our mercy towards somebody. But you may have to reserve your trust. Trust is not something that comes back in a day. You understand that? There's a lot of people I've seen that it's short-circuited, you know, maybe a spouse or maybe a colleague or a family member or something did something that was very hurtful to them, and they couldn't bridge the gap between forgiveness and trust. They think that forgiveness is equal to trust. It's not. Listen, there's a lot of times, I'll forgive anybody, I'll forgive anything,
sure,
but I can't trust them right away.
Right.
Listen, you'd be a fool to trust somebody. And I'll tell you what, people that have fallen and truly want help, they're transparent. Listen, if you have fallen and if you have missed it and you want the mercy of God and you want the mercy of church leadership and your brothers and sisters in Christ to surround you, well, I tell you what, then you're willing to be transparent.
That's right.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the first thing you know that somebody is not truly repentant is when they come in and yet they won't take responsibility for what they've done. Oh, I've had people sit there. Folks, I cannot tell you the things that have come across my desk and the things that I've dealt with. The things that people have done, I mean, downright criminal things. I mean, things that you, if I mentioned, you would not even believe. You're thinking, oh my goodness, who's going to this church? Well, these were people that were outside of the church that came seeking me for help. And of course, I said, I'm here to help.
Yeah, right.
I said, but listen, what you've done is a very serious thing. And if you truly want help, you'll be completely transparent and you'll be willing to take full responsibility. If you missed it, but yet you still want to partially defend your actions, there's no help for you. There's no help for someone that says, I missed it, but it wasn't all my fault. They were the problem too. No, you're still trying to justify in part your actions. You'll never be any help until you take full responsibility for what you've done. Listen, I have seen people survive and thrive after they've missed it bad.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the same variables that are in place for those that truly are repentant and want the mercy of God. They say, anything you want me to do, Lord.
Yes.
You know, if I need to be done with Facebook, if I need to be done with the computer, if I need to show you, all my pictures, all my files, if I need whatever I have to do to be completely transparent, that's what somebody looks like when they truly want help. But if they still have to have parts of their life that are secretive, if they still have something that it was someone else's fault, then they haven't taken full responsibility, you can't help them. There was this one gentleman. I can't even tell you what he did. I don't even think there's a diplomatic way of saying it. But let's just say this. He wasn't part of this church. He was someone from the community that sought my help. And he told me exactly. He was arrested for some very heinous crimes. And I said, yeah, I'll meet with you. And he sat there and gave me the rundown of what he was charged with and everything. And the first thing I told him, I said, okay, I can help you. But the first step is that you take full responsibility. And there was... there was a young girl involved, okay, a 13-year-old girl. And he started to, explain what had happened and things like that. And yet he still kind of wanted to slip into this idea. Yeah, but she was 13 going on 38. I said, stop right there. I said, stop right there. You are a grown man. She is a little girl. You understand this? I said, if you again make any kind of reference that it was any part of her fault, I will haul you out of this office right now.
Right.
He said, okay. I said, I'm serious. Don't you try to put off blame.
No.
When you're a man in your 30s, she is a girl of 13 years old. Yeah. Don't you dare.
No.
Don't you dare. Try to, skirt or shirk your responsibility, And I warned him. And throughout the conversations, he kept going back to putting part of the blame on her. And finally, I said, that's it. We're done. Leave. I said, I'm not meeting with you anymore. You're just here to try to meet with a pastor so you can have some kind of courtesy with the court. That's what he was there for. He wasn't there to get help. Why? Because he wouldn't take full responsibility. Listen, someone that wants help says, I'll be completely transparent. It's my fault. It's nobody's else. I've sinned,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Come on now. But we need to be there for people when they do want help. We need to be there for people that do want help, and there's plenty of them. All right? It's, we don't put the blame on somebody else if we've missed it. But I'll tell you what, if you have missed it, or what I'm talking about today is when you see other people miss it, because you're going to see people fail. I know, it's not a big amen moment. Say, well, that's not a faith confession. It's the truth. You're going to see people miss it. You're going to see people fail. And they need someone like you to help pick them up. They need you to be merciful. They need the first words out of your mouth to be, you can be restored. You can get back. God's not mad at you. God hasn't given up on you. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. You know, the first words that they need to hear is, I forgive you. I'm not mad at you. They need to hear that. You know, you got to be merciful. Did you get something out of this today? Oh, praise the Lord. Love covers a multitude of sins. But he that repeats a matter separates relationships. See, notice it says, he that loves his brother abides in the light. There's no occasion of stumbling. No occasion of stumbling. What does that look like? I tell you what, that looks pretty good. You're not going to stumble. You're not going to stumble in this life because you're a person of mercy. Come on. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Listen, I feel like I'm prophesying right now. There is coming somebody in your life. This might not apply to everybody in this room, but it's going to apply to more than one. There is somebody that is going to do something maybe malicious, hurtful, or you're going to see them fall or fail. It's not going to be you that is necessarily the failure. You know, the person that falls. Somebody else close to you will. All right? And it is going to be your reaction that is going to determine your upcoming year. Listen, it'll be your reaction that is going to determine the upcoming year. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. It's not just their spirituality that's on trial. It's yours. Did you get something out of this? Oh, I can't even emphasize how much the Spirit of God is trying to get me to impress on you. How important this is. Amen? And if you are a person that has fallen, listen, first of all, this place is here to help you, okay? But do yourself a favor. Be completely transparent and take full responsibility. Don't ever try to justify wrong actions, not even a pinch. If you've missed it, the people that thrive and survive and come back, they say, I am completely responsible. No one else's fault but mine. That's what it takes to get right. Amen.